The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, week 18 is a wrap, y'all. The 2024 season is officially done, at least the regular season is. So now we have the playoffs all set, but let's talk about how we got there, because we had us a full weekend of games, and actually a few of them were really good, and then, of course, a bunch of them were terrible, because a bunch of teams have pretty much already packed up and hit vacation already. But before we get into the Week 18 recap, Simon did send me his picks after the show over the weekend. So this is how we ended up for the season. For the fourth year in a row, I win. This past week, I went 10-6, and he went 9-7. So my season total ended up being 184 wins and 88 losses. And his season total ended up being 161 wins and 111 losses. So what's that? 23 wins. So yeah, I definitely kicked his ass. And that is the fourth year in a row that I have officially won this head-to-head matchup between Simon and I. So he's got to really get it together next year. But until then, I am the four-time champ here. So that's how that turned out between the two of us. So let's talk about Week 18 and what happened, beginning with the Saturday games. We had the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens, and that went exactly as expected. The Ravens won 35-10. Lamar Jackson went 16 for 32, 217 yards, two touchdowns. Derrick Henry rushed for 138 yards and two touchdowns. Rashad Bateman had 76 yards and a touchdown. And it was pretty much a flawless game from the Ravens offensively and defensively. Played fantastic. They did lose Zay Flowers, and it's possible that he's going to miss at least one of the playoff games, depending on how far they end up going in the playoffs. But it looks like he might actually miss the wild card matchup, which is not going to be a good thing for them. But, I mean, they seem to survive without him in this one. But the Cleveland Browns go ahead and head on home as they normally do. Then the second matchup on Saturday was the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, I mean, this was all defense by both teams. But, I mean, the Steelers, their offense is just so terrible, so ineffective. And here they are. They did make the playoffs, but they did not win their division. And they just kind of slipped away this last month of football. And here they are headed into the playoffs on, like, what, a 4 or 5 game losing streak. So they're not looking good at all, especially on offense. Defense, there's really no issues, but it's this offense. It just can't get going. George Pickens is just dropping wide open passes, and that's basically what happened in this one. I mean, there was poor clock management. There was just stupid moves towards the end of the game. I mean, the Steelers actually had a shot at winning this one. I mean, the Bengals had the lead the whole way, and they did get the win 19-17, just held on to that one. But the Steelers, it just was, they could not get going offensively at all. And the Bengals were able to keep their playoff hopes alive. But then Sunday, a few teams won, or the Denver Broncos won and basically knocked them out. So the Bengals will be headed home this offseason, which sucks because Joe Burrow, man, he had a phenomenal year. Definitely MVP type numbers, but he's definitely not going to get that MVP because his team really didn't even have a shot at making the playoffs. Of course, they had a shot on that last day, but I really didn't believe they were going to even make it, let alone win the Super Bowl. Then on Sunday, we had the Washington Commanders at my Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys ended the season how they basically played the entire season, and that was they had the lead this entire game, and it was looking like, oh my God, are we going to close out the season with a win over this good Commanders team? And then, of course, we let them drive down the field on the last game-winning drive, the last seconds, boom, the Commanders score a touchdown, take home the win 23-19, but thankfully this Dallas Cowboys season is over with. one of the worst seasons in quite some time, at least in my opinion, and I am happy to have it be over with, and I am ready to see what we do in this off season with whatever we do at coach. And I will be happy either way. I'll be cool if we re-sign McCarthy. I think that's what we should do. But if we go another direction, then we go another direction. But there's that. Then, of course, the contract situation with Micah Parsons. And hopefully we actually add some people in free agency this year. So we'll see what goes goes down there. But the Commanders will be moving on to the playoffs. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. When this game started, it actually was... It did matter because the Falcons were playing for a to win their division. They, of course, did not do that because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won while they were going back and forth here with the Panthers. But I got to say, great game from the Panthers and great game from Bryce Young. Bryce Young had 5 touchdowns on the day, 3 passing, 2 rushing touchdowns. And it was really just it's been really cool to see Bryce Young take that time where he got benched, and instead of turning it into a negative, he's actually turned it into quite the positive and has really been getting better every single game. So it kind of looks like the Panthers might actually have some promise next year with the it looks like a franchise quarterback, and we'll see what they're able to do with the draft because they've got a high draft pick with how terrible they did this year. But they did get a huge win in overtime over their division rival Falcons, 44-38, and it was just back and forth between Penix Jr. and Bryce Young. So hopefully that's going to be a quarterback tandem that we see dueling it out for years to come. Because if it's anything like that game, then we're going to get some good-ass games out of those two guys. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. And what do you know? The Chicago Bears actually beat the Green Bay Packers. They have not beat the Packers in, I think it's like the last 10 times, something like that. And not only did they get the win, but they got the win in Green Bay. They won 24-22 on a walk-off 51-yard field goal. Caleb Williams, solid day, 21-29, 148 yards and a touchdown. And the Packers, they suffered some injuries as well. Jordan Love, he suffered an elbow injury where he basically couldn't feel his throwing hand for the rest of the game. So they took him out. Then Malik Willis, the backup quarterback, got injured. But the worst news actually was their wide receiver, Christian Watson. Looks like he tore his ACL. And so he's absolutely going to be out for the playoffs, which is just not what you want. But that's just the name of the game, unfortunately. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans, and the Texans stomped the Titans 23-14, and they are just smooth sailing into the playoffs. Well, not smooth sailing, but they are sailing into the playoffs, and the Titans are actually the number one overall seed, so they are on the clock, and we'll see what they do with that. I would not be shocked if they end up going with the quarterback like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Those look to be the two top guys at the quarterback position. But they definitely have their pick of the litter, or will they trade it away? You never know what they're going to do. I feel like they should absolutely utilize it and either pick up one of those quarterbacks or Travis Hunter or do something with it. But they definitely need to keep that pick, in my opinion. You only get the number one overall pick so often, and you might as well take advantage while you can, because Will Levis is obviously not the future of the Tennessee Titans. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. This was another one that actually went into overtime, and it had nothing on the line, but it was between two division foes, and they went right at it all the way till the bitter end. The Colts were able to get the win, 26-23. Joe Flacco went 23-40, 264 yards and a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor closed out the season with a huge game, 177 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And really just, that's just... Both teams did not have really good seasons, and they are both headed home. Then we had the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots, and this shockingly turned out the Patriots got the win, 23-16. Now, the Bills played their backup, so it didn't really matter. What was most shocking was the Patriots immediately after the game fired their coach, Gerard Mayo, which I found really odd because this is only his first year, and you're going to fire the dude, not really give him a shot. So that was basically the first firing of the week, and that's how the Patriots kicked it off after a win. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if this win was a setback And the reason why Mayo got fired, because had the Patriots just lost, they would actually have the number one overall pick in the draft. So maybe it was punishment for doing that. But, I mean, come on. You want to win, no matter what. That's how that game went. Then we had the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles were also playing all their backups, but it still didn't matter. They still got the win over the Giants, 20-13. And who cares how that game went? It's the Giants had a terrible season, and I think they get the third pick overall in the draft. So, hey, at least they get they have the opportunity to nab somebody decent. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and all the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had to do was win, and they are in the playoffs and win their division, and that is exactly what they did. They got the win 27-19. Their rookie running back, Bucky Irving, he had 89 yards and a touchdown on the ground, and then Mike Evans, he had 89 yards total on the day and actually ended up eclipsing 1,000 yards for the 11th time in his career. He has done it 11 consecutive seasons in a row, and that actually ties Jerry Rice. So that's actually a really big historic moment, because anytime you hear the words Jerry Rice and you tied him for a record, that means you're doing something right if you're a wide receiver. That's for damn sure. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs had nothing to play for, so they just played all of their backups, and they got their asses smashed because the Broncos had something to play for. All they had to do was win, and they were also in the playoffs, and that's what they did. They won 38-0. Bo Nix, 26 for 29, 321 yards and 4 touchdowns. Also had 47 yards rushing as well. His wide receiver, Sutton, 98 yards and a touchdown, and the Broncos look pretty good headed into the playoffs, and we'll see what they got. I wouldn't be shocked if they actually, you know, shit on somebody's day, but I don't expect to see them winning a championship just yet. But they definitely, Bo Nix looks like he's definitely the future of the Denver Broncos. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers killed the Raiders 34-20. Justin Herbert went 28 for 36, 346 yards and 2 touchdowns, so a big day for him. J.K. Dobbins had 63 yards on the ground, and Quentin Johnston had 186 yards receiving. And the Chargers are headed into the playoffs, and the Raiders are headed to the draft. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams were another team that had nothing to play for, so they played their backups. Seahawks got the win 30-25, and they ride off into the sunset, headed to vacation like the rest of us. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. This one was very weird because the Dolphins needed a win, and then they, of course, needed the Broncos to lose to get into the playoffs, but it kind of felt like they weren't playing at all in this one. They ended up actually getting beat pretty bad by the Jets, 32-20. This could potentially be Aaron Rodgers' last game. I mean, he is 41 years old, so there's a good shot that was his last game. If it was, he actually had a very, very good game, went out on a good note. He actually passed for his 500th career touchdown, which he joins a very small group of quarterbacks to ever do that. But he ended the day going 23 for 36, 274 yards and 4 touchdowns. So if you're ending your career, that's a good game to end your career on, but who knows what's going to happen. He's obviously going to take some time to figure it out, but I would not be surprised either way if he comes back or if he retires. Terrible game from the Miami Dolphins, and Tyreek Hill is already requesting a trade, so we'll see how that proceeds as the offseason goes. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals took care of business, 47-24. It was close there for a little while, and then the second half happened. Actually, the fourth quarter happened, and the Cardinals were like, no, we're actually going to win this one. Kyler Murray had a very nice day. He had 4 touchdowns on the day, but not a good end for the San Francisco 49ers on the season. And then the Sunday night football matchup, it was the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions just continued to dominate. They did exactly what they've done in this regular season, and that is beat up everybody, and they beat up the Vikings 31-9. It was not even, I mean, it was close in the first half, but it just didn't really feel close at all. It felt like the Lions had complete control of this game from start to finish. And, Jahmyr Gibbs, he actually had a 4-touchdown game, ran for 139 yards. Jared Goff had yet another flawless game, 27 for 33, 231 yards and 1 touchdown. And I just look at this Lions team, and to me, they are the front runners for the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, We'll break down my Super Bowl predictions on Friday's show since we'll be there. But let's go ahead and find out what all the wild card matchups are for the weekend. So for the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs have a bye week, so since they clinched the number one overall seed, so we will not see them this week. But the wild card matchups in the AFC, we've got the Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens, so you know that's going to be a headbanger. I mean, every time they play each other, it's usually a headbanger, and now it's in the playoffs, so we'll see if Pittsburgh shows up for this one. They normally do. And then the last wild card matchup in the AFC is the Los Angeles Chargers at the Houston Texans. And then in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, they clinched number one overall seed, so they have a bye week this week. And so the wild card matchups in the NFC are the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Rams. So like I said, we will break down those playoff matchups on Friday's show and ultimately break down who I believe is going to win the Super Bowl. But if you've been listening for the last month, you would basically know that I pretty much am probably picking the Lions. I mean, I haven't made a bracket yet or anything, really broke it down, but I'm leaning towards Lions because that team has just played so consistent this year, and that is exactly how they ended the year, consistently good. And we do have only two firings today. Usually, it's called Black Monday for a reason. It's usually because you have a spate of like 4 or 5 coaches that get fired immediately right off the bat. So Gerard Mayo, he was the quickest one right off the bat. As soon as their game ended, basically New England Patriots fired him only after one season. So good luck there. And then Doug Peterson with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was fired this morning. And that was his fourth season, and I mean, there was really no progress with the Jaguars. So, as usual, the Jaguars are looking for a new coach. We'll see how the rest of the week progresses. There's still openings. The Jets, the Bears, and the Saints already fired their coaches. So there's 5 openings, and there's probably going to be a couple more once we hit Friday's show. So let's move on to the college football playoff and the college football semifinals. Those are Thursday and Friday night games. We have the last 4 teams who are going to be playing for a chance at the national championship. So the first matchup on Thursday night is going to be Penn State versus Notre Dame. Right now, Notre Dame is a 1.5-point favorite. To me, Penn State is a really damn good football team. I kind of feel like they're a dark horse that nobody was really expecting, and I feel like Notre Dame better be ready. Now, to me, Notre Dame, they always choke in the college football playoff, and at some point, I feel like they're going to choke, and this is where I think it's going to happen, simply because I think Penn State is a better team. Now, they both match up very well. They both have good defense, but I think Penn State is just slightly better, and it's slightly more consistent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Penn State, they don't have any issues scoring once they get a hold of the ball. If they get a turnover, there's a good chance that that team is going to score some points or at least set their offense up in really good field position. And like I said about Notre Dame, they've been playing great football this year, but I just kind of feel like at some point their bubble is going to burst, and I feel like it's going to be this week. And I have Penn State beating Notre Dame 31-20. And then Friday's game is at least the game I'm looking forward to most. That's, of course, my Texas Longhorns versus Ohio State. Ohio State right now is favored at 5.5 points. And, Texas isn't coming in looking really good right now, but I do think both of these teams match up very well against each other. I think they play the same style of football, but I will say the Longhorns defense is still the best defense remaining in college football. And as I keep saying every single week, their defense is why they win, and I think their defense is going to be why they win this one. I think defense is going to take care of business. Wouldn't be shocked if the defense actually gets like a game-winning turnover or something of that nature to win it. Now, I do think it's going to be a close one. I think it's actually going to be a back-and-forth battle for a while, but I do think Texas is going to get the win, of course, 34-31. Moving on to my top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a lot of movement. We actually do have a new number one this week, though, simply because this team is on fire. So let's get into it. The Oklahoma City Thunder. They are 30-5 on the season, but they have won 15 straight games right now. They are just, and it's not just a win by a 3 points, 2 points. No, they're kicking everybody's ass. I mean, just listen to whose asses they kicked this week. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they ain't chumps. Is that the Clippers or the Lakers? I think that's the Clippers because I don't believe the Lakers played the Thunder this week. But they played one of the LA teams and kicked their ass. Then they beat the New York Knicks, another not a chump team. And then they beat the Boston Celtics, you know, the defending champions. And they are just rolling through everybody. It doesn't matter the injuries, whatever. They're kind of like the Detroit Lions of basketball right now, where they're just killing everybody. They're not making up any excuses, and they just keep killing everybody. SGA, he is just having a fantastic year so far, averaging 31.3 points per game, and he just seems to get better and better. And this Oklahoma City team, they're so good on offense, on defense, and they gel so well together. And a 15-game winning streak is nothing to scoff at, and so that's why they are number one this week. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 31-4. They're also on a pretty long winning streak, but their winning streak's only at 10, not 15. So that's why they are put behind Oklahoma City in this one. I kind of feel like these two teams plus Boston are going to be really rotating for the number one position as the season wears on. But, you know, Cleveland, they're doing the same thing. They're killing everybody in their way. This week, they beat the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Charlotte Hornets. And it's just getting done in all ways, shapes, and forms, offensively, defensively. Every player stepping it up. You know, they've got Donovan Mitchell having a fantastic year, but it's the entire team is just playing excellent basketball right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 26-10. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Toronto Raptors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Houston Rockets, but they did lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're not playing as great as the two above, but they're still playing good basketball. I mean, Jason Tatum, yet another flawless, phenomenal season. But hey, they're slumping right now, and so got to put them behind the two teams with the 15-game winning streak and the 10-game winning streak. But don't be surprised if you see Boston back up at the top at some point here in the coming weeks, because I doubt they're going to be sitting back letting these two dominate the rest of the league for the rest of the year. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 24-12. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz, but lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls. Unfortunately, Karl-Anthony Towns, he did get injured over the weekend, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a long injury, but he's definitely going to be missing at least tonight's game. Their next game, he's definitely going to miss, but it doesn't look like he's going to be out for a significant amount of time because they definitely need him, because he is the reason why they are playing so well right now, or at least one of the reasons why. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 23-13. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Phoenix Suns, but lost to the Sacramento Kings and lost to the Golden State Warriors. I think part of that is because Ja Morant is injured again. Nothing long-term, it doesn't seem like, but he is what they're calling week-to-week. So he is out right now, and they actually haven't looked too good this week since he got injured. So that's probably why they're hovering at the 5-5 mark right now in their last 10 games. But I mean, they're still a good team and they're still finding their way and actually playing really well on the defensive side of the ball, just dominating that paint. But they definitely need Ja back. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 23-12. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Dallas Mavericks, lost to the Boston Celtics, and got a squeaker of a win over my Lakers yesterday. You know, the Houston Rockets, they just keep playing really well. They're beating good teams, but then they lose, you know? So it's they're not crazy consistent, but they're still leading their division, and you know, they're dominating the paint like crazy. That's one of the main reasons why they're playing so well, is because they just are absolutely dominating the paint. Like I keep saying about them, I don't know if this is gonna be able to last all season, but hey, who knows? They're playing great right now, and that's all that matters. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 21-16. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons, beat the Toronto Raptors, and then lost to the Utah Jazz. Like I said, this is a team that's really just battling through injuries, and so I would not be shocked to see Orlando Magic slip, but they're still here. They're still battling on, and still 21-16, still top of their division. Still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So even though they've had all these injuries to some of their top-tier players, they're still here. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 20-14. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz, the Atlanta Hawks, and then lost to the San Antonio Spurs, and then won over the San Antonio Spurs. And, of course, Jokic, he is a triple-double king. But he had a huge game against the Spurs, the last one, the one that they won it in overtime, actually, and he had 46 points and really just, and got 9 of them in overtime, but it was really just a battle between him and Wemby for a minute there, but actually both games were pretty good between the two of them, but Jokic and Wemby were really just going at it, and just a really, really good basketball there. But the Denver Nuggets are finally starting to get it going. They've had to deal with the injury bug as well this year. They seem to be a team that's looking to make some type of trade as well. So who knows what's going to happen with this team. But as long as they got Jokic, they're still a pretty damn good team. And you can't count them out. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 20-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they got wins over the Portland Trail Blazers and the Atlanta Hawks, and then lost to the Houston Rockets. This is another team that's looking to make a trade. Really the biggest problem with the Lakers is not only just their defense, but they just keep hocking up threes for absolutely no reason. It gets really frustrating. That's the type of basketball I absolutely hate, is when you just start throwing up baskets when you just need to actually set up plays. And I don't know what it is with this team and why they keep doing it, but it's really pissing me off. But hey, they're at the top of the division right now, and so playing pretty decent basketball at this point in time, but I don't know how legit the Lakers are going to be unless they happen to make not only a decent trade, but they need to actually start playing some consistent basketball and stop just chucking up threes, because that's not going to get you wins. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 17-16. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, but lost to the Brooklyn Nets and the Portland Trail Blazers. Giannis Antetokounmpo is having an MVP caliber year. Right now, he is averaging 32.3 points per game and really just demolishing anybody when he gets out onto the court. Dame Lillard also having a solid year. He didn't have a good game. I think it was it against Portland, which would have been funny. There was one game over the weekend he did not have a good game at all. But, I mean, overall, Milwaukee is starting to look better, starting to play better basketball, and starting to look more like the championship contending team that we've known for them to be as over the years. And then also just another little bit of basketball news that happened over the weekend. Jimmy Butler has been just going back and forth with the Miami Heat since the offseason about a new contract or wanting to be traded. And it actually came to a head this weekend, and the Miami Heat have decided to suspend him for 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, they at first, before they suspended him, actually said, no, we are not entertaining any trade offers for Jimmy Butler. And then something happened, and then basically the next day, it was announced that he was going to be suspended for 7 games. And now the Miami Heat are actually looking for a trade partner. So we'll see what happens here with Jimmy Butler. It looks like now it's inevitable that he's going to get traded. And we'll see who ends up with Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's a fantastic player. But it's interesting to see that this is how his time is ending with the Miami Heat. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.